Uh-oh. We're not going to watch it twice. Once is enough. We know who wins, right? Anybody know who wins? All right, I'm glad you're here this morning. If I sound like a teenager, I might be in puberty again. My voice is kind of messed up. I always tell you, I hope you had as good a week as I had. I hope you didn't have as bad a week as I had this time. I've been very blessed in life. I hardly ever get sick. I've never really spent a night in the hospital. You know, I've got an IV when I had the stomach flu. You know, I broke my leg. I broke my arm, my hand, hit my, you know, I broke my wrist. I've done all sorts of things. But I've basically been a really healthy person. Yeah, I'd get the stomach flu or I'd get a cold. But I've really never had a major issue. But last week I shared with you I wasn't feeling well. And it didn't turn out well for me this week. I ended up having to go to the doctor on Thursday. I have a sinus infection, a bronchial infection, and a lung infection. And so they put me on all sorts of, after I walked out, $80 worth of medicine, you know, and they gave me all this medicine. But it made me think about something. It made me realize, you know, I take my health for granted. You may do that. You know, when you're healthy, you never think about sick. You never think about that. But it kind of lined up with our messages. That I said sometimes we think our spiritual health for granted. But there were some good things that happened out of this. I am on steroids now, all right? I am on prednisone. So Laura took a picture of me yesterday, and I wanted to show you a picture that Laura took of me yesterday. All right? I'm telling, this is the absolute truth. Laura took a picture of me yesterday, and that's at my house in my living room. And those steroids, you know, I was thinking about the Daniel plan. I don't need the Daniel plan anymore. You know, Sean said I look like I lost weight. No, that prednisone, man, that stuff is really, really good. Let's get that picture down. Just so you know, that is a combination of three pictures, all right? Not just one, but three. Laura did take a picture of me so I can get the sizes right. So I did not lie. Laura did take it so I get the sizes right. And then I had the blank wall, and then I cut and paste, and I like stuff like that. But what I realized is we take for granted our health. I really did. I mean, I have never been this sick in my life. I'm 63 years old, and I have never been this sick in my life. I've had my colds. I've had the flu. I've had those things. But when I reached 8 days, you know, I had been sick. You know, it's like Monday rolls around, and I'm really dead Monday. I mean, I had a really rough week. My dad's in the hospital driving back and forth from Sacramento. All sorts of stuff going on. And so Monday, I was sick. And I woke up Tuesday feeling pretty good. I'm going, well, maybe I turned the corner. You know, you got your colds, you know, 3 or 4 days. Then you kind of turn the corner and you start getting better. Well, I woke up Wednesday and I was the same. I woke up Thursday and I was the same. And so I decided I better go to the doctor because I'm preaching on Sunday. And so I went to the doctor and they gave me all this medicine. But I begin to realize that, you know what, I take my health for granted. I've just been a blessed young man. I, you know, like I said, I've broke things and I've had stitches and, you know, but basically I'm healthy. But I started realizing, you know what it is? I think we take our spiritual health for granted. We accept Christ. Life starts going well. Life is very good. Yeah, we have some issues every once in a while. You know, as Christians, you know, we're running into some bumps, you know, like the flu or, you know, spiritual things and little spiritual battles every once in a while. But most of the time, we do pretty good. We just kind of cruise through life. And we just mosey along. And we just take that spiritual dimension for credit. Well, I want to kind of go back to that and say, you know what, maybe we need to stop. And that's why I think as a church, we do these spiritual campaigns. You know, I want us to kind of stop because we get... And this morning's lesson, I think, is really a great lesson because we get comfortable. You know, life is going pretty good. You know, we have this verse, John 10:10. That's going to be here. And I love this verse. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And I really love this verse because I really believe that Satan wants to steal my joy and kill my peace and destroy my life. But when I walk with God, there's an abundant life there. And I've really been blessed in that life. But there's things that kind of get in the way. that steal that joy and kill that peace. I did not have a joyful week. I had meetings I had to miss. This is the first week I really did nothing all week. Basically, I went to the doctor this week. That's basically all I did. And it just hurts, and you just can't figure life out. But I want to think about this, that we get guaranteed and we get kind of comfortable in our Christian life and life along pretty good. You know, I thought, you know, we live in America. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't think anybody in here is rich. Anybody in here rich? You know? None of us are rich. But we're pretty comfortable. Most of us, you know, we got a home. You know, we got a car. We got clothes. You're not worried where you're going to eat this afternoon. Even if you weren't eating here at church with potluck, you'd be going somewhere to eat. You know, most of us, we're comfortable. Things are going pretty good in life. Things are going well in life. And we're just cruising along in life, comfortable. But what I want us to know is this, that sometimes the things that kill our joy, steal our peace, and destroy our life are not always bad. That comfort can be bad. That getting comfortable can be bad. That taking our Christian life for granted can be bad. That spiritual, we all have it. I mean, to me, it's really amazing. People are looking for something in that spiritual realm. And they search all over, but it's right here. And we just take it for granted. You know, we have a pretty good life. I'm not rich, but I live okay. You know, things are going pretty good. Until this week, it was going really well. You know, but then you have these things go on in life. And when they start going well, guess what we forget? We've that spiritual aspect of our life. Yeah, God's part of our life. We get up, we go to church. We might go to small group during the week and plug into a group and enjoy that time with our group. But we just kind of cruise through life, and God's good and life is good, and we're just kind of moseying on through. And I think sometimes that becomes bad. And it's real interesting. You read the Word of God, and you come to a point when God led Israel out of Egypt. Anybody familiar with the story? Israel is prisoners, they're slaves in Egypt. God takes Moses and leads them out of Egypt into the promised land. He comes to that border, and Moses is doing his final teaching before Moses turns the reins of leadership over to Joshua. And God gives him this message, and I think it's a message we need to hear today. Listen to what he said to Moses, to tell the people. And when you eat and are full and build beautiful houses to live in, and your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold multiply, and everything else you have increases, be careful that your heart does not become proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. So I wonder if that ever happens to us in our Christian life, in our spiritual life. That life starts going well. He's telling Israel here, you're going to go into the promised land, the land with milk and honey, a beautiful land. I'm going to provide for you all that you need. I'm going to send you into this land, and it's your land. But when you get there, when you have all this, don't take it for granted. Don't just assume. You're going to get comfortable. You're going to get peaceful. You're going to have all your needs met. Life is going to go good for you when you get in there. But don't forget who made it all possible. And see, I wonder how often, at least I know myself, forgets. Like I just forget, you know, I have been a healthy person. Laura would always give me a bad time. Laura always battles health issues, all right? It's just her. She always, you name it, she gets it, all right? And she'd always say, well, I wish you would get da da da, so you'd understand. I go, do you really want me to get that? And I'd give her a bad time. I said, do you really wish that on me? We'd always laugh about that. Because I just take my health for granted. I am a basic healthy guy. This is the worst I've been in all my life at 63. But what about spiritually? We roll along in our lives and we're comfortable. Cars, homes, clothes, food. Most of us don't really have a major worry in our life. We have some concerns. And yeah, we have some battles, you know. Yeah, I broke my leg, I broke my hand, you know, and yeah, I got stitches. You know, we have these little issues that come up, but basically we're comfortable. Life is good. Life is going well. Do we forget God? Do we ever just kind of assume on God? I think that's really a great warning. Brought you out of Egypt. Don't forget the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt. But I want to say this morning that, you know, comfort can become a giant in our lives. That we can get so comfortable in our lives and so comfortable where we're just going to cruise through life. You know, have you ever said anything like this? Don't rock my boat. Anybody? I've said it. It's going good right now. Don't mess this up. Anybody ever say things like this? And we just kind of cruise through life, and life is good, and life is okay, and I'm okay, and I'm a good guy, and we just kind of go on through. We create these comfort zones. We have a safe space. That we had our nice little lives right here, and we're just kind of cruising through. I want us to think about that. Can that be a giant? Can that prevent us from something God wants to do in our lives? Can that stop an opportunity that God wants us to seize? Can that blind us from where God might be leading us? Can those comforts and those things in our lives mess us up? I think it did for Israel. All right? I read that warning. When you're going into the promised land, be careful. Things are going to go well for you. You're going to be successful. You're going to have comfort. You're going to have food. You're going to have a home. You're going to have financial. You're going to be okay when you get into the promised land. But don't forget God. Well, guess what happened 400 years later? 400 years later, we have the story of David and Goliath. And I think we see a little bit of that comfort becoming an issue. They get comfortable in life. Things are going well. And they've had these little battles, They didn't do things like God had said. And so they got these little battles with all these other little nations around them. And now here's these Philistines. I want to read a passage there. It reads this. I hope you got your outline out and kind of fill it out as we go. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. For 40 days, I want you to get a picture in your mind. And I'm going to try to paint a picture here. For 40 days, they would line up on this hill over here, and the Philistines on this hill over here. And Goliath would stand out and face the people and say, "You pick one to challenge me. Winner take all battle. And whoever wins, the others become their slaves." That was a common practice in those days. The rulers would take their best men and say, "You guys fight. And then when that's over, whoever wins, it's done." And they would make this 40 days. I want you to get a picture. 40 days, Goliath would step out in the morning and say, "Who's going to challenge me?" Later on in that afternoon, Goliath would step out again. "Who's going to challenge?" 80 times he stood out there and challenged them. "Who's going to step up and fight?" And so I started trying to paint a picture in my mind of what's going on and how this would be battled. They had their camp over here, the hill right here, and the Philistines over here, and so here's the picture I have. All right? They got a camp. The city's over there. They're camping out every night. They're eating. They get up in the morning. They have breakfast. Gather up their equipment, wash just pots and pans, gather the equipment. Their shields, their spears, their helmets, whatever they need. They go out there and they line up on the hill. Goliath walks out. "I challenge you." And they all just stand there. Now, as long as nobody does nothing, nobody's going to die. All right? Just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Don't move. Just be still. Nobody do anything. And they don't do anything. And they stand there. Now, I kind of wondered, they're standing there in the hot sun beating down the hot Middle East. On these hills, they're out there, no shade, no nothing. It's like, "Well, hey, let's go eat lunch." So they go back into camp, have lunch, get up, walk back out to the battle, put their armor on again, stand, Later on that afternoon, as the shade kind of comes in, it's kind of cooled down in the afternoon, Goliath steps out and says, "Hey, let's go at it." And nobody does anything. Can you imagine that for 40 days? In and out. Maybe they didn't go back to, maybe they just stood out there in the hot sun all day long. Just nobody do anything. They were living in comfort. As long as we don't do anything, as long as we don't mess anything up, as long as nobody says anything, we're going to be comfortable. Nobody's going to die. Day one, day two, day three. They have to worry about supplies. Listen, I want you to make sure you get a picture here. I want to make sure you get the picture here. David has three big brothers out there. So Jesse, his dad, sends him out here. And look at what he says. "Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain, these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers, and hurry to the camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are bringing back, see how your brothers are, and bring back some assurance from them." They got a supply line. "I don't have to worry about anything. You know, don't do anything, don't say anything, we won't die today. Go back to camp, hey man, there's food." David's probably not the only one, man, bringing food. All the families are probably sending food out there. You know, they're all bringing their food. You know, David has, here's all this stuff. Everybody's eating. They're afraid, and there's fear. There's some issues, but you know, they're comfortable. Why do we have to do anything? Why do we have to fight? Why do we have to say? Why do we have to move? As long as nobody does anything, we're going to be okay. They were comfortable. 40 days. 40 days they sat there and just, you know, just shh, 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 shh. Nobody be stupid. You know, just be quiet. You know? And we're going to be okay. Do we ever do that in our lives? Just get comfortable? You know? Maybe the pastor challenges you to get involved in Awana. You know, shh, 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 don't say anything and he won't notice me over here. You know? Oh, you need to get involved in children's church and shh, 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 be quiet, don't move. You know, don't twitch. You know, it's like you're at an auction. If you just raise your hand a little bit, he's going to say, "Hey, there's one." You know, church, nursery. No, don't, no, don't. You know, vacation Bible school. Oh, we're going to have a small group. No, don't say that. I don't want to do a small group. Yeah, I'm in my comfort zone. Anybody like that? You know? Oh, you know, God's kind of provoking you to invite your neighbor to Easter service or to join you in church one day and shh, 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 don't say anything. You know, hey, I want us to talk to our, you know, Joe over here about coming to church. Shh, don't say anything. Leave it alone. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? God kind of provoking you to do something and you're just kind of... That's what Goliath... Wasn't that what Goliath was doing? You guys are quiet, man. You don't want to move your arms, do you? There's a volunteer. There's one. All right, I got it now. Yeah. But we get comfortable in our Christian life, you know? We're just kind of cruising along. You know, I'm going to leave church and... Well, today I don't even have to leave church. I get to eat right over here, man. I can't wait. Well, just so you know, I'll just kind of pre-warn you. I already stole a sandwich. All right. I already ate a donut that's in there. Whoever brought those white powder donuts, I opened them. All right. Yeah. We just kind of cruise right along in life. See, I want to challenge us. Because here comes David. Here's this satchel. David's got this bag hanging on his shoulder with bread and cheese and all this stuff he's carrying out there. He brings it to his brothers and he hears Goliath. On the 40th day, he hears Goliath stand out there. And it's like, what in the world? He says, "You're not just challenging Israel, you're challenging God." I'm going to tell you something. I agree with David. Don't mess with God. All right? You know, he's one you don't want to mess with. You know, and you're challenging Goliath. Look at what he says here. Now, and so he says, so he goes to Saul. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. I'll take him on." You know, I wonder what, you know, we always heard his brothers. Last week we talked about the rejection that David had. Rejected from his brothers, rejection from Saul, rejection from Goliath. all that. I just wonder what the rest of the army was doing. Holding back. If he goes out there, we might all die. You know what I'm saying? We got to save David so he doesn't kill us all. How's this little 15-year-old boy going to do against Goliath? I could just, we're comfortable. Life is good. Don't rock my boat. I'm going along well. I'm just cruising through life. It's good. Paycheck in every Friday. The stores are open. I have clothes. I have a car. Don't go buy gas at Costco. The line's crazy. We just kind of cruise through life. But David says, no, man. It's worth the risk. As a matter of fact, it ain't much of a risk. Saul sits there and says, you're just a kid. And David goes, well, listen. I take care of these sheep. And a lion tried to eat, and God delivered that lion into my hands. And he says, I take care of my sheep. And a bear showed up. And God delivered that bear into my hands. He says, I see Goliath out there challenging God, and guess what? God will deliver Goliath into my hands. So I want to tell you, when God asks you to do something, when God provokes you, when you see that opportunity, God says you can do it. I like what David said here. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. I love that. That I can just see this teenage boy. I'm going to strike you down and chop off your head. I can just see him with all that excitement there. Teenage story. This very day I will give your carcass to the Philistines' army, birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God of Israel. He didn't say, the whole world's going to know there's a David. The great giant slayer. He's saying, God's going to do this. God's going to deliver this. See, I want to tell you, when God asks you to do something, when God challenges you to do something, we sit in our little safe zones, and we sit in our little comfort zones, and we just kind of cruise through life. Yeah, little wounds, and there's little things in our life shouting at us that we're just cruising along. How many missed opportunities do we have? How many risks are we willing to take? See, I look at my life. I've tried to play golf, okay? I got golf as my garage. I haven't played golf in years because I've tried that game. I'm not any good at golf, okay? I do not have the patience or the precision for golf. Plus, I'm a risk taker. That's just my personality. We go out on a golf course and there's water over here and you go here and you hit the ball and you just kind of go around the water, you'll be okay. You know what? I'm going to go over that water. You can ask Dan and those who golf me. I'm going for it, man. I'll take the risk. There's one hole on over here at the little Muni course, and there's a tree branch that hangs over one of the greens right there. And it's like, I can suck this ball right on around like this. Oh, I can't hook, man. I got a banana slice. It just goes the other. I'll take the risk. I'm going to go for it. That's just my personality. But most of us, we don't run a risk much. You got to see, we risk building this building. The church was ready to do bring this about a year before I was ready to do it. Did you guys know that? It took me a year of praying and seeking God before it's like, okay, let's building down and let's go for it. That God did the rewarding. What God moved to make this happen. There's a story behind this. There is no doubt this is here because God did this. When it says God of Israel, this is proof there's a God of Israel. Well, I'm going to say it this way. This is proof there's a God of Salida right here. But we were willing to take the risk and to make something happen and to see it. See, do we see this in our life or do we cruise through life? I'm going to ask you, are you just cruising? Are you comfortable? Has comfort become a giant in your life? God, life is good. Life is going well. Don't ask me to change anymore. Don't ask me to give anymore. Don't ask me to work with children. Don't ask me to come to the block party. Don't ask me to invite my neighbor. Don't ask me, God. I'm comfortable. My little safe zone. You know, the people that know I'm a Christian, those others, I don't really want them to know I'm a Christian. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we create these comfort zones and we create these safe zones. I want to challenge us this morning. I want to challenge you this morning to not sit there in that little comfort zone and miss the opportunities of God. I think about my life. I've shared my story. Some of you haven't been here very long. I'm a flunking out of high school, literally flunking out of high school. I had to set my counselor's office the last 2 weeks of high school to graduate, all right? Yeah. Barely a C average, okay? Barely a C average getting out of high school. Get married in June. God called me to the ministry. Say yes to God. Have no idea what I'm getting myself into. I wish I knew more when I said yes. Might not have been as quick as yes as it was. I still would have said yes, but it might have took me a year or so. You know? And then off to college. You get married in June. You drive 400 miles away. No job. Walk into the apartment that's got 2 inches of water in the bedroom. You got $1,000 in the bank. You got $600 tuition due the first day of school. It's like, okay, I got to get a job. Right on through. And I just keep going. God, the opportunity. I wouldn't trade my life. Look back over, and you know some of the best times I had is when I was in college. And we had nothing. My brothers, I'm the oldest in the family. My brothers had jobs making really good money. They had bought homes. They had cars. They had the American dream life going on. And they were comfortable. I was in college driving a beater. Anybody ever drive a beater? Driving a beater in college. Barely paying our bills. You know, a night out was a penny, Pete buying a regular little single pizza and getting one for a penny. Pound of hamburger was 59 cents, man. You buy a lot when it was 59 cents. Hamburger Helper was one of the main things in our menu item. Anybody remember those days? Yeah. But I look back on those days now as, you know, that was a good time. Laura and I out there on adventure, Riverside, California. I only lived down there 28 months, but I love the Southern California. Traffic don't bother me. You know, give me my tank. I'll run them all over. You know? But I had to be willing to leave everything. I think about Laura, 17 years old. Never been away from home. Packs everything up in a car, in a truck, and goes to Riverside. It's like, she was crazy. But think about, what about challenges in your life? Can you think of those times when you took that risk? When you were willing to step out and do something? I just want to challenge us to kind of think about that. Because see, I think that's who God made us to be. I think that's who God wants us to be. I like this passage here. Matter of fact, this is our memory verse, okay? Ephesians 2:10. A little image out this morning on YouVersion Bible. You might have got it. But I love this. For we are God's masterpiece. What are you? You're a masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He didn't say he created you so you can sit around in your comfort zone. So you can live in your safe space. Is that what he says? So that you can be comfortable. I circled good things. God wants us to do good things. Matter of fact, I'm going to be real specific. I'm going to shake you a little bit here. God wants you to do things. You. To do good things. Are you doing good things? Now, I'm not talking about just in church. I mean, neighbors and friends and family and in church. Now, I define it this way. You know, there's ministries in the church. Children's and nursery and different ministries in the church, block party, and different ministries you can be a part of, But then there's a mission to the world, those opportunities in the world. Like I say, I mow my neighbor's yard. Every time I mow my yard, I mow my neighbor's yard. She was a divorcee. She's got somebody living with her now. I still mow her yard. I just keep planting seeds, inviting them to church. See, are you on mission? Do you have a part of what got good things? So we have memory verse. What do we do with our memory verse? We say it. Thank you. Somebody's with me here. We're going to memorize our memory verse. We've got three so far, right? John 10:10. 1 Timothy 1:7. I forget last week's already. I'm sorry. I had a bad week, so you got to forgive me for that one. And now we got Ephesians 2:10. So we're going to say it as we usually do. Reference, verse, reference. Are you ready? Same rule. If I can't hear you over my squeaky voice, we're going to do it again. So are you ready? All right. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Then I hear Ephesians 2:10. I'm bad. I heard this side better than I heard this side. You guys were better over here, all right? Challenge next time. But God wants us to do good things, and you can. You know, I look at my life, and I wonder how many teachers in high school, in elementary school. I got my report. My mom kept my report cards. When she passed away, I got boxes of stuff, and I've read my cards from my teachers. You know my first grade teachers and second grade teachers wrote? Hopeless. Not quite that bad, but pretty close. Yeah. They didn't have much good to say about me. It's really fun to read those. You know, I wonder what they think now when I went back and I got Dr. Gary Dew. Glad to meet you. You know, I wonder what they say. Now, you know why I can do that now that I couldn't do then? I'm going to tell you why. Because of Jesus Christ. I put all my heart. I hated school. I despised school. Like I said, I had a fishing pole I could break down. I lived in Sacramento. Sacramento River's right over the hill there. I'd walk out of class, grab my fishing pole, put it on my back, ride up the river levee there in Sacramento, drive down that levee, and go fishing. Steelhead are running. Shad are running. Salmon are running. Oh, let's go down to the delta. Let's go down into the sloughs, and we'll go catfishing. All right, let's go. Yeah. That's why I barely grad high school. I spent a lot of time on the riverbank fishing. But I became a Christian, and God changed. I love school now. I love learning. I love reading. I love studying. I love wrestling with all this stuff about God. And it's exciting to me. But I think this is it. And this is my verse. You guys know that, right? First Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe that with all my heart. I'm sold with that verse. I am in with that verse. That is my motto verse. I live on that verse. Now, I've done some stupid things, but I'm going to live with God. I'll take that slingshot. All right, man. That just sounds so awesome. Right between the eyes. Didn't hit him, man. It sunk in. That is good, you know. It's like, yeah, all right, you know. And, you know, kill the bear, kill the lion. Don't mess with me. I'm Davy Crockett, you know. And it's just this battle. I can do all things, but we got to be willing to risk. So I put it this way on your book, I can if I will. I can if I will. If you're willing to step out, you can. You can do great things. There are opportunities. You might be sitting there this morning and say, well, I just don't know what to do. I just don't have any opportunities. Say yes, and this does. See, that's my thing. God, I'm saying yes. Now tell me what you want me to do. God doesn't have to wait to tell Gary to say, well, Gary, do you want to do this? I've already told God, yes, God. Now just tell me where you want me to go. I've done things I don't want to do. When I was pastoring in Willits, California, it's like, Gary, you need to go knock on doors. I don't want to go knock on doors. I've knocked on all the doors already. I've already done all that. Nobody listens to me. Gary, go knock on doors. God, I don't want to. Get up and go next to the trailer park next to the church, start knocking on doors. No, no, no. Come to one door, knock on the door. No, I'm not interested to come. steps out of the house, closes the door behind him. He says, "But can you pray for me?" "Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you." Yeah. "God gave me an opportunity that I didn't want." Anybody have an opportunity you don't want? Yeah. It's just, but I've said, God, I'm going to say yes now. And then whatever it is, God, we'll figure it out as we go along. Because I'm kind of crazy. Now, I know some of you like a little more comfort zone than that. But at least say yes. At least step out and go for it. At least be willing. Yeah. Someday, I'm going to pass away. A long time, all right? I'm only 63, all right? I got a long life still ahead of me. You know, my dad's 85, 49 with a bad heart. We took him to the emergency room. Doctor says he's still got 4 or 5 good years left. He retired at 49 with a bad heart. I've sat there and watched him cook his egg in bacon grease, then throw his toast in that bacon grease. And he's 85. Well, I guess I got a good 95, all right? Yeah. But when I go, I don't want a eulogy going, "Well, Gary lived a good life and a comfortable life." Wouldn't that be great? Gary lived a good life and a comfortable life. That's not going to be my eulogy. I want to make a difference. I want something to happen. What was interesting this morning, let me tell you what happened this morning. I'm walking here to church. One of the ladies in town that I have known for years stops by. She knows I've been sick. She's seen me and we talked during the week. And she knows I've been sick. She pulls up and she goes, "What are you doing out? You go home, get some rest." She goes, "You're always taking care of everybody else. You better go take care of yourself." That's what I want to be known for, guys. Now, that's what I want my eulogy to say. He gave his life for God so that people will know. My dream is this, and this is what I want our church. I want people to see Jesus in me and want to join me on this wonderful journey. I want people to see Jesus in this church and join us on this wonderful journey of becoming like God. That's what I want. But it's risky. You know what? There's people here in town that like Gary. And there's people in this town that don't like Gary. You know what? I love them both. Ha, ha, ha on them. See, I want to challenge you. What good things? What good things? I got three things. I got three things just to kind of encourage you to make this happen, okay? Here's the first one. Remember that faith thrives in discomfort. When do you grow the most? Is when you're under pressure. I'm going to ask you, when did you study the most at school? When you were under pressure, right? You know, all night before the test, right? That's when you studied. You know, when you're under pressure, that's when you put all your work into it. And that's when your faith grows the most, is when you're under pressure. Well, I don't have enough faith yet. You'll never, if you wait, you'll never have enough faith. I started looking at this. Jesus was beaten, whipped, died on a cross, tossed into a tomb, and buried, dead. But he rose from the grave. Think that little discomfort to save us? The disciples, every one of them, died a martyr's life, crucified upside down, burned in oil, beheaded, all this to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Did it make a difference? Paul, beaten, whipped, stoned, not living in California, so it wasn't marijuana, okay? Stoned by rocks, all right? Just tore up, shipwrecked, bitten by snakes. You name it. But he wrote most of our New Testament. Where did he write most of the New Testament from? Jail. We live our comfortable lives. And it's okay. Has your comfort become a giant? Afraid of a little discomfort? Again, I like this, what God told Joshua. Remember, we've kind of been looking at Joshua and Moses. So look at what he said. "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God is with you. God is there. You're not alone. Your faith will grow. I look at myself and my ignorance and the stupid things. I still remember, some of you had no idea, we had an old blue church sitting here. It wasn't blue when I came. It was white, and then it was beige. Then it was blue, you know. And we put a baptistry in that church. And I was raised by a carpenter. I knew how to nail nails, cut floors. I knew how to wire. I knew how to do wiring. I knew how to do plumbing. You know, I was just a general everything, okay? That's kind of what I was. So I can put this baptistry in. So, yeah, we need a baptistry in the church. So I'm going to cut a hole in the floor, drop this baptistry in. We buy the baptistry. The church has the courage to let me try. You know, and so we cut a hole in the floor. But I thought, I can do this. Well, as soon as what happened is we voted to do it. We got all this stuff bought. In between all of that, a guy moves into town that's not even a Christian. His wife is. Friends of some of our church members. He just got done working on a bar up in Oregon or Washington. I think they lived in Oregon. He just finished working on a bar. They decided to move to California to be near their friends. So they moved down here to California. He's a carpenter. So I recruit him to help me put this baptistry in. And as soon as we made that first cut in the floor, I realized, you know what? I couldn't do this without him. I stepped out thinking I could do it. But you know what? I couldn't do it. But God had already had plans. God had already went out. So this guy was here. And we just put the baptistry in the church. And then guess who got baptized in the baptistry? The unsaved guy that built the baptistry was saved and got baptized in the baptistry. Linda was the first one baptized in that baptistry. Yeah, but I thought I could do it. But I realized, I mean, as soon as we dropped that saw on that floor and cut that oak floor up, it's like, man, I could not have done this if this guy wasn't here. He had all that we needed. He had everything. I had a skill saw, hammer, and nails. I could do it. But it's amazing what God does when you just step out. So there's going to be some discomfort sometimes. I put this next one this way. Remember that life on earth is short. Life is short. I don't know about you. I'm 63 now. Life seems shorter now than it did earlier. Anybody on that one? It seems to be flying by. They say it goes like this. You're five. A year is 1/5 of your year. Now a year is 1/63 of my year. It's getting smaller. And life just flies by. Life is brief. Life is short. Israel wasted 40 days. 40 days wasted. How about us? Are we wasting some of our time? Are we wasting some of that opportunities? God, I'll do that, God, when I get a raise, when I have enough money. I'll do that, God, when I finish school. I'll do that, God, when I retire. God, I'll do that when my kids grow up and leave the house. God, anybody say things like that? You know? Life's too short. Look at what it says. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. There's opportunities. I'm going to ask, don't let those opportunities miss. Don't have regrets. I missed this. If I would have just did this, if I could have did this. You can't change the past, but you know what? You can change the future. What are you willing to step out on? What are you willing to do? Because here's my next point. It goes like this. Remember that God is on your side. You never step out alone. Understand that. You will never step out alone. When I step up baptistry thinking I could do it, because like I said, I'm a carpenter. I did the wiring in the building. I did the plumbing. He did all the other construction work because I knew how to do that. That I was not on my own. God was always there. David, as he slew Goliath, David didn't say, I did it. God delivered you into my hands. I'm going to tell you, God will deliver your challenges. God will deliver those opportunities. God will deliver those things in your life. You can if you look at what it says. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose. Circle that word work. And write this word, energy. Because that's literally that Greek word, is energy. That would be what that word would say. Anybody here say, I just don't have the energy? I just don't have the energy to do that. I don't have the energy anymore. I can't. God gives you the energy you need to do what he's called you to do. I could not give up preaching this morning. Yes, I might sound like a teenager with my voice going up and down. And you know what? I'm going to do this. I took my prednisone this morning. I took my antibiotics this morning. And I got, man, I'm going for it, God. I'm in. Because God's going to have to do this. Because I love this. Because I live in this comfort zone. I like the comfort life. You know what? I like sitting at home. I had a, you know, like I said, it was a bad week, but it was a fun week. I got an old quilt for my mom that my mom had quilted. My mom knew I was tall, so I had this long quilt. I got a pillow, and I just laid on the couch all week. Turned the TV on, and I'd fall asleep watching Mythbusters. I just, you know, going, man, just that nice warm quilt. You can't believe how warm a nice quilt is. Grandma makes, you know. But you know what? I had to get up on Thursday and write a message. And it was fun. I like this. But we get our comfort zone. I want you to picture it this way this morning. I want you to take a picture of this for you this morning. Little bird. Little baby bird. Sitting in the nest of a tree. Right? Anybody? Yeah. Maybe that you're that bird. You're sitting in the nest of the tree. Now, how does a bird learn to fly? Mama bird's kind of like David, going and getting the food and bringing it to the brothers. Mama bird would go and get the food and bring it to the baby birds back and forth. But mama bird says, enough is enough. It's time for you to fly. What she does? Pushes that bird out of the nest. It says, it's time to go. Get out of here. Take care of yourself. Pushes that bird out of the nest. So between the comfort of that nest and the danger of the ground, guess what that bird learns? It learned it's got wings and it better fly. So I want to ask you, where are you at? Where are you at? In the nest, saying, Mama, feed me. Yeah. Go to church. Feed me, Pastor, I'm here. Yeah, I'll feed you lunch in a little while. Yeah. Well, I'll feed you spiritually. We got some good Christian music here, and we're going to share God's word together. I'll feed you. You need to learn to feed yourself, Mama Bird's saying. Where are you? Have you fell all the way to the ground? You ever found one of the birds laying on the ground? I have. Yeah. It didn't make it. Are you going to make it? You can if you will. You can if you will. Will you? Don't let the giant of comfort slay you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank your words and your truths. I thank you that you're a mighty and compassionate God. And that you've blessed us. We have comfortable lives, Lord. We truly are blessed, especially to be in America. It's a mess right now in our country, Lord. But there's no place better. And we live comfortably. We're not rich and we're not wealthy. But we're comfortable, Lord. We have our safety, and it's easy. Life is good. Yeah, there's issues, and there's battles, but we're comfortable. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you're too comfortable this morning. Maybe God has asked you to do something. Maybe God has asked you to cross that invisible line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. And maybe you've never crossed that line. You need to cross that line. Maybe you need to cross that line. Maybe God has asked you to do something. You said, God, I'll do when? If someday the kids, school, work, I just don't have the energy. I don't have the time. And you miss an opportunity. I want to pray for you. There's something holding you back. And you want to say, God, I want to step out. Knowing that I'm not stepping out alone. And you want me to pray? You shoot your hand up and let me pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of these We're willing to take the risk to move from the comfort zone, to move from the safety, and to say, yes, Lord, whatever you're calling me to, I'm going to say yes to your will and to your way. Lord, I lift them up to you. Reveal yourself to them. Show your desires for them. And then give them the abilities, just as you promised. They are a masterpiece in your hand. And you have prepared them for this great work. So lay your hand upon them in a special way. Encourage them, inspire them, empower them to accomplish what you've set before them, to seize the opportunity, for they can, and they're saying they're willing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give an invitation at the end of our service. Invitation's real simple. It's a time when I just stand here to pray with you. I don't know what God is doing and how God is moving in your life, but I want to be a part of it. So I'm here to pray with you, whatever it is. Maybe you need to cross an invisible line. Maybe you've just been kind of holding back on God, saying, God, when I'll make that decision. God, I'm tired of doing things my way, but I'm not quite ready to say I want to do it yours. Maybe today's the day you want to do that.